Well, today on our Live in the Bream podcast, I want to welcome straight from the headlines a man you may have heard about, even if you don't know his name. It is Coach Kennedy. And if you know anything about his story, he is a high school football coach from Washington State who wanted to pray after the games and did. At times there were players. Eventually, he began to pray simply by himself when there was some controversy. And now there is a ruling out this week. The Ninth Circuit, not surprisingly, telling him unanimously in an opinion that he didn't have the right to do that and maintain his job. He was suspended. He lost that job working as a coach, a job that he loved. He's joined today also by Kelly Shackelford, who is part of the law firm, founder of First Liberty, that is checking every way that they can to pursue this fight and to assist him in his legal fight. So we are glad to have both of you. Thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you.
No, it's great to be on.
All right. So I want to start by talking a little bit about the background here. Coach, I have heard your players talk about you. I've heard families talk about you and even people who say, like, we're not religious, but we want somebody to lead our young men and women. The court even noted that part of your contractual obligation was to not only encourage people to be good in sports, but to be, quote, good human beings. Was this part of that?
Well, I really think that that's the number one job of a coach is to, you know, help those young men become better young men. And up in Bremerton, we have, you know, it's a working class town. You know, there's not a lot of money in the area. So we have a lot of, you know, single families, you know, moms doing their best that they can to raise kids. So you're more than just a coach to these guys. And really, it's all about helping them, you know, develop into good people in society these days.
And I know that, you know, having known your case over the last few years and reading about it, I mean, there were all kinds of different things that happened. There were prayers in the locker room. There were inspirational talks. There were prayers afterwards. I mean, eventually, my understanding is that the very last thing you ended up with was just you praying alone on the field after a game. And for the court, that was just too much. No students involved. The students could still see you. I want to read a part of what the court said here. Kennedy, that's you, spoke at a school event on school property wearing BHS logoed attire, that's your high school, while on duty as a supervisor and in the most prominent position on the field, where he knew it was inevitable that students, parents, fans, and occasionally the media would observe his behavior. They said that wasn't okay, that you weren't acting as a private citizen when you went out there and took a knee and prayed for 15 to 30 seconds. What you were doing was something as a public employee, and the government can't try to influence or give a religious message.
Yeah, you know, I don't know all the legal mumbo jumbo, to be honest with you.
Well, luckily we have Kelly
really
for that.
Yeah, you know, I'm wearing, you know, Bremerton High School attire right now. That's what us coaches live in. I mean, that's what we do. And it seems really absurd that if I'm in it, even at a away game on somebody else's field, they're telling me I can't even do that by myself out there. And just because I work for somebody doesn't mean I give up my rights as an American. And I mean, I just don't understand any of it.
Well, Shannon, yeah. As you know, I mean, not to get too technical, but this kind of goes back to this test that the Supreme Court has used at times that people try to use called the endorsement test. And they say that people would, you know, they say, well, even though nothing's really going on wrong, that somebody might view it and they might think that that's not Coach Kennedy, that's the school district, you know, praying. I don't think anybody with a brain would think that. I mean, I think everybody knows Coach Kennedy was going out and going to a knee by himself and giving thanks. I think that's really silly when a court says that that is the government. Everybody knows that's not the government. That's not Bremerton High School. That's not the school district doing that. That's Coach Kennedy. And if there isn't that ability, then what that means is every employee at every school district, in fact, it would be really every county, every city, every federal government employee, can never do anything religious, because when they do, they're the government and they're doing something religious. It's just a really extreme interpretation.
Well, Kelly, are you worried about, you mentioned there some of the more broad implications, because people of all faith, if they do want to practice their faith and they do hold a position at a public school or government position, I mean, these are things they have to think about. It doesn't matter if you're a Christian or a Muslim or Jewish or any other faith out there. It sounds like if you are devout in your faith and want to practice it in an area that may take you into the public sphere, I mean, you should be concerned about this ruling.
You should, because it's just wrong. I think what most of us have agreed, what I think most of the courts have agreed upon is you never want the government using their power to force or coerce. You don't want the government to be, you know, pushing religion on you know, citizens being anti-religious, right? Either one. But they admitted that wasn't happening here. They said that, you know, Coach Kennedy never coerced the players or asked them to pray or anything like that. So to go so far as to say anytime a government official, in this case, what they said is if a coach prays in public and someone can see them, that's the violation. It's sort of a pray in a closet, you know, approach. You know, that's the only place you can pray. And that's really extreme. That's different from saying we don't want the government coercing. Now we're saying everybody who, you know, works for the government now loses their First Amendment rights, loses their religious freedom, their free speech. And I don't, you know, that's never been the law in this country. And that would really be horrible if that ever became the law.
Coach, what do you say to those who say you don't need to pray on the field? You can pray in the closet. I mean, God, if you believe in Him, will hear you wherever you are. There's no reason to make a public display of it. How do you respond?
Well, you know, I actually kind of agree with that. It doesn't make any difference where someone prays, and that's kind of the point, too. It doesn't matter where they pray, if they want to pray in their house or, you know, in public. This is America, and I served in the military for 20 years to support and defend the Constitution. My son is in the Marines now, and he's doing the same thing, and it really baffles me that somehow we don't have rights as Americans, and I serve to protect those rights, and now I can't even exercise them. So it shouldn't make a difference if I pray where I pray. It just doesn't make sense to me in any way, shape, or form that somebody's telling me where I can and cannot pray. That's the whole issue for me.
Well, and this is something that we've talked about also from this decision from the court. They talk about how people love to gather in a lot of communities around the country. Friday night football is a tradition, and it brings everyone together. But they added this. They say they recognize the important role that public worship plays in many communities, the desire to include public prayer as part of these occasions, meaning these football games. But they say such activity can promote disunity along religious lines. It risks alienating valued community members from an environment that must be open and welcoming to all. Coach, do you ever have worries about that, that you taking this stand and speaking about your faith would in some way make others feel like, whether there were players who are atheists or other community members who don't want to share in acts of faith, that in some way it pushes them away?
No, I understand when people say that if you're not familiar with our team, you don't know any of the kids on our team, our families. We have people of all different faiths and some with absolutely no faith. That's the great thing about a team, is that we respect each other and their beliefs and their rights. And I had kids that came up to me and said, "Hey, coach, I don't feel like I should be joining in prayer because I'm an atheist or I'm agnostic." And it's like, that's awesome. Those are the guys that I promote to be captains of our football team because they stand up for what they believe is right. If they came out there, it wasn't a big deal. If they didn't come out, it made absolutely no difference if they did or not. And I even told them, you know, hey, I'm just going to do this by myself so I don't get you guys in trouble. And, I mean, there was, of course, they wanted to come out and, you know, be part of it, but it's just so wrong to think that I'd be excluding anybody or somebody would feel bad because they weren't part of it. I think that's just a lot of, you know, talk. It doesn't really apply here whatsoever.
Well, Kelly,
and Shannon, people, not everybody knows, but, you know, what Coach Kennedy did at the end to make sure that none of the kids are with him is the kids were turning to sing the fight song. And that's when he went out. They're facing the crowd singing the fight song. They didn't even know. That's when he went out by himself, went to a knee, and said a prayer. And that's what he was fired for.
Well, and how did this get started? I mean, who lodged the initial complaint or concern about this?
Yeah, that was the funniest thing. It actually came from a compliment. One of the administrators at a different school district saw what we were doing because it was both teams out there after battling each other. We came out there and we had this moment of peace with each other. We all, you know, take a knee together, and the teams, you know, are really entwined right there. They're inviting to each other, and they see, you know, the team, that aspect of what football is. And so they called the principal to give them a compliment, which, you know, sent everybody into, well, we should figure out what's going on. And it's interesting when they say, you know, what is a reasonable observer? And I'm looking at the school district. I've been doing this for, I was going on my eighth year, and nobody ever noticed it. So I don't understand why it would be a problem now after I've been doing it for so long with so many people. We're talking like 400 kids over the past 8 years.
Mm-hmm. Well, Kelly, where do you go from here?
I'll say the letter, the letter that they sent, just so you know, at the end, was they told him that if he ever did anything at any time that anyone could tell was religious, that he would be fired. And that's what happened. And, of course, that's why when the decision affirms that, it's so dangerous, because if you're a Jewish, you know, teacher or work at the school and you wear a yarmulke, that violates that principle, right? If you pray over your meal as a teacher, if you do anything, if you you know, cross, you know, your head, any sort of display at all, they say, you know, you're in violation and we're going to fire you. So we've got to certainly appeal this. We've got to get this reversed. And there's two options. You can go to what's called en banc, which is the full Ninth Circuit, and then go to the Supreme Court, or you can go straight to the Supreme Court. And so we're going to analyze that, see what the best way to go, and do everything we can, because this is obviously about Coach Kennedy, but this is about really millions and millions of Americans and their freedoms. And gosh, we can't live in a country where the law is that coaches are never allowed to pray if people would see them, even if they're doing so individually, even if they're doing so by themselves, silently, that loses their job. That can't be America.
What are you asking for? Are you looking for compensation? Do you want your job back? What are you looking for?
Yeah, no compensation whatsoever. I just want to be, you know, out there with the young men in Bremerton. I want to be the football coach again and be part of the program that we've been building over, you know, the past decade. And I just want to have the rights that every American is supposed to have of the, you know, the First Amendment, the freedom of religion. I think that should apply to all Americans. That's all I want.
Well, and you mentioned your 20 years in service. Thank you for that. And now for your son serving in the Marines as well. My dad says that's the only branch.
Of course.
Rest his soul. He was a Marine. So listen, how does it make you feel when you think about that contrast, the fact that you serve this country, your son now serves this country, and this to most people would seem to be such a fundamental right?
Yeah, that's, you know, as a Christian, I'm almost expected where somebody's going to say something to me. But as a Marine, that's what really wanted me to stand up and fight, was that aspect of it, of, you know, hey, I have fought, you know, in wars for this. This is, my brothers have died, you know, on the battlefield for people to have the rights of an American. And I took that oath of enlistment so seriously, to support and defend the Constitution of the United States. And then when I find out that, well, that doesn't apply to you, I feel like, man, I was being lied to for 20 years. So I'm that's the thing that really bothers me, is that, you know, there's people that sacrifice their lives to serve so people have this freedom. And I'm one of the people that don't even have that freedom today.
Kelly, how do you respond to some of the groups on the left who were fighting for this outcome and are very happy about the ruling from the Ninth Circuit? I mean, they're pointing to the fact, as the Ninth Circuit did, that these are young, impressionable students. I believe the opinion at one point called them, quote, captive minds or something along those lines, saying, you know, listen, these are young people who are going to look up to their coach. They're going to admire him. They're going to want to do what he does. They're going to want to do what they think will help them get ahead on the football team. And so it's a situation where if he has got some sway over them. There has to be extra sensitivity to any religious message that he would promote.
Yeah, well, I think the great thing we had in this case is the really concession by the school district that he never that there was never coercion anywhere in it. They, as the coach talked about earlier, I mean, this is something they talked about, and you know, he said, "Hey, this is a free country. Don't pray. Pray. Do whatever you want." So there really was no coercion. But what these groups you're talking about are arguing for, you know, you can kind of have. And, you know, in a society, there's different ways you can deal with diversity. One way is you can decide to just shut everybody's freedom down so nobody knows anybody's different. The other way, which is, I think, the American and the constitutional way, is you let people express their differences. You let people be different, and you celebrate that. You say that, you know what, we got people with different beliefs, so religions, et cetera. That's part of our country. Those are freedoms people have, and that's great. And what they're after here is sort of a religious cleansing. The idea that no person of faith can ever reflect their faith, you know, and again, what they said in this case is, in public, if someone can see it, that's a bridge way too far. So there's a big difference between, you know, somebody as a coach or as a teacher or somebody else using their authority to pressure students in any way, either anti or pro. And the idea that those people can never be people of faith, they can never bow their head, they can never pray, they can never go to a knee, they can never wear a yarmulke. Now we've gone way over the line, and we're really violating the Constitution.
Kelly,
if I can add something to that, you know, I would feel like a hypocrite because, we have every diversity you could possibly imagine on a football team. I mean, we're talking race, religion, sexual preference. I'm talking everything. And that's one of the things that everybody on the football field is exactly the same. So, you know, I'm giving everybody the exact same, you know, nobody's different in that area. And we wanted, you know, practice that diversity and encourage people to be themselves. And then they turn around and tell me that I'm the only one that can't be myself, and I have to hide who I am, and I don't want anybody to know. What kind of message would I be sending my kids if I backed down to that and ran away from that? It's like, no, you need to be able to stand up for what you guys believe in. And yeah, that's what I...
You want to model that for them.
Yeah.
Well, Kelly, if you end up taking this to the Supreme Court, they take up the appeal and they hear it. I just want to get your take on this issue of religious liberty and freedom of speech in this case, all the things twined together, intertwined. How much of a difference do you think it makes to this case having Justice Gorsuch on the bench versus had Hillary Clinton won and she had chosen a justice to add to the bench?
You know, I don't know. You know, this is one of those things where you wonder, you know, conservative, liberal justices, you know, sometimes conservatives go with the government and they think, well, the government could be able to do what they want, you know, and therefore if they want to fire somebody, they can fire somebody. And sometimes the liberals are more for free speech and free. So this is one of those that would probably have a little bit of a mixture. I think it might attract people from both sides of, you know, normally you would consider the aisle, you know, on the left and the right, because, you know, if Coach Kennedy can't express what, here's a great example, Shannon. One of the briefs filed at the Court of Appeals supporting Coach Kennedy was by an African-American team and coaches who got a lot of attention because during the national anthem, they took a knee in protest. And that was their First Amendment right. And they filed to say, how is it that we have a First Amendment right to do that? But Coach Kennedy goes to a knee to pray, and he's fired. They said, that's not right. So here you have people that were, in that case, more on the left, but they totally supported Coach Kennedy because this is about freedom and the First Amendment. So I don't know, you know, how it would shake out for sure yet, but I do think this is something really important. I mean, the court needs to draw the line that goes way back. It says neither teachers nor students leave their First Amendment rights at the schoolhouse gate. That's a famous case. But if this now is the law, then teachers and coaches, and they really do leave their First Amendment rights at the schoolhouse gate, and they lose those rights, and that is not our country.
Coach, I want to give a quick final word to you, your message to the young players that you have coached over the years.
Oh, that I just love every one of those guys. I mean, they're the most incredible people, and they're the biggest blessing I have ever had, you know, to be part of their lives. You're only with them for a very short time in their lives, even if it's 4 years. It's so small, and it's just a blessing to see them grow up to be better young men. And knowing that I was part of that, and that they, you know, to stand up for what they believe in and know it's okay. And I was the one that, you know, it's leadership by example. And I wasn't one of those guys that said, you know, do as I say, not as I do. I want to practice what I preach. And just being able to be that guy that says, you guys are going to be all right with whatever you guys do, and fight those good fights.
All right. Coach Kennedy, Kelly Shackelford, thank you both very much. Keep us updated.
Hey, thank you so much.
Thank you, Shannon. And I do want to say, if anybody wants, they can look at the briefs, they can look at the decisions, they can send Coach Kennedy a note. We have it all up at firstliberty.org for them to look through if they want to see it for themselves, and even support Coach Joe.
All right, a lot of good information there. Thanks again.
All right,
thank
have
you.
A good one.